Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
This asylum was home to the rich, the poor, and the unknown. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
We never left.
We never left.
We never left.
We are back.
Have you been to Downey, California, by chance?
I have. I feel like I was going down there to help somebody. Like, their car broke down, and for some reason, like, yeah,
Downey. Yikes.
But I think Downey has the last or one of the last, like, old school McDonald's.
Oh.
So they have that, what, like, is the facade, like, the, you know, that still has the facade.
Oh, with, like, the hamburger, like, the tray. The arches
mm-hmm. are there, which I still remember as a kid. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, for the nature of this podcast, it's a shame when they have to tear it down. I understand, like, there's probably, you know, technological advantages of having a new corporate, you know, ice cold corporate logo.
Yeah, exactly.
Logo.
Just, like, no one, like, just... That's it.
Yeah, I like old. Like, I'm really into old neon signs.
Yeah, there's a lot of those everywhere. This the Neon Museum that's in Glendale.
I haven't gone. I drove by that, and I was like, I have to go there because they're relatively close. But I've gone to the Neon Museum in Las Vegas,
ooh.
Or it's the, like, the graveyard. It's the all the old signs.
Ooh,
yeah, and we're getting
really
a little
fun.
Off track there, but it's
we are getting off track. Portland also has great neon signs, and
LA still has.
LA's got some great ones. There's actually a great tour, Esoteric, tour company that focuses on the macabre, does a neon sign tour.
Yeah,
maybe for your birthday
that.
This year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Just play your cards.
I'm not doing that for my 22nd birthday. Are you crazy?
No. You're going to have shots from all around the world with a passport and people stamping it.
Yep.
That's more a college thing, maybe.
But we're going to get into some LA based.
Oh, yes,
stuff.
We are.
We're back in LA again.
We're back
which
in
I like.
LA. We're back, baby. Like, we never left.
Yeah.
But we did leave. But before we get to that stuff, I want to talk about this week the LA County Poor Farm. How about that for a name of a place that people call?
You know, sometimes they'll dress up the name and they'll be like, and you'll get there and you're like, this is not.
It'll be like the exquisite, elaborate Sir Chestnut's Last Rites of a House Manor. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
This one's like,
hey, we're getting to it. LA County Poor Farm.
Yeah. All the worst words
exactly.
We're just putting in the thing. So you know what you're getting.
You know what kind of font they would make it if it were like in a movie, like the M would just like,
and then fall off.
Yeah, and you'd be like, "What?
Yeah.
Am I really staying here this summer?"
And the picture would be like a kind of a cartoon of a guy like a hobo with his pockets inside out.
Yeah, he'd be like, "What?" Like a bindle.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be like a little like tuna can and a goat gnawing on the tuna cans,
yep.
kind of a thing. Anyway, it's in Downey, California.
So it's LA, like. It's not in Los Angeles proper.
Yeah, but it's very close.
Yeah, it's close enough.
It's about 25 minutes from where we sit right now recording this podcast on a giant stack of coasters with our mic. So if you want a context, there you go.
Yeah.
But it's been all of these different things, and it's really interesting, and we're going to get to it. But first, this is our last podcast before the new year.
Yeah, Christmas is over.
Xmas?
It's done.
To you and yours.
Yes.
Good night.
Christmas is over. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with it.
Yeah. All of the tinsel is down. The tree is sagging.
Yeah.
Presents are unwrapped.
People are like, how quickly can I return this?
Yeah. They're like, God damn it. Like cookie. You know, it's like the gross, like soggy cookies.
I'll eat the
like,
gross soggy cookies, you
know? Though. No shame.
No.
Nog. We were on a show that I thought was a podcast, and it was actually a taped YouTube show.
They had nog.
I drank it. It was like 6,000 calories a cup. Yeah. Jason had one sip because he's a sensible person, and I had a bucket.
And it was non-alcoholic too. So
it was really no. It had alcohol in it.
Not the one I did. He had the non-alcoholic.
I had a bucket of alcoholic eggnog at this thing that I thought was a podcast, but was actually taped. Well,
you kept calling it a podcast, and I thought you were just, it was a colloquialism. You know what I mean? Like, you were just like, oh, it's a thing where we're essentially talking.
Yeah.
But you didn't realize the camera was, and yeah, no. We had an earpiece.
Yeah, we had everything.
We had an earpiece. Very... We had somebody in the booth going, 5, 4, 3, and then you yawned.
And then I yawned.
You came back from like really, a graphic and was, instead of waiting,
I couldn't stop it. Like it was, you know, like a guttural yawn. Like it started really low in my diaphragm and then moved its way up. And I was like, this is coming.
And then
and
back
I can't
on
stop
Rebecca,
it. I can't stop
big
it.
Yawn.
Big yawn. I am a person for radio.
Yeah.
Podcasting. Yeah. I'm not good in front of people.
But you're not that great.
But
at
come
the
to our live shows.
Yeah.
I'm not good at anything. Yeah. Let's get that out of the way.
And then we have the new year.
The new year
coming.
We're going to be guesting on a lot of podcasts too, which I'm really excited about.
Oh yeah,
day and night, baby. We never stop.
Yes. Well, we do stop.
When we stop.
When they don't respond to our requests.
Yeah. After a couple of minutes, we'll stop.
Yeah, we will.
But
stop.
Until then, we will never stop.
But we started this. We started this in. It was pretty much an idea in
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it was your idea.
June?
We sat at India Sweets and Spices having a $6 meal.
Yeah.
And you told me this idea.
And then you were like, where's the napkins? And I'm like, great.
Yeah, I was like, I need more soda.
Yeah, I know.
You're like, since then, I've given up soda like you have.
How long have you been off soda?
About, I guess I had like one or two in the last 3 or 4 months.
Oh, that's pretty much not at all.
Right?
I've been off via probably like 7 months and all aspartame. So like no snap, like diet Snapples or anything like that
that's
either,
great.
Which I would drink. And I think when I quit soda once for like 7 or 8 months, but I didn't quit the aspartame.
Mm-hmm.
I just quit all of it. And I think that's what really made the difference.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Yeah. I think just figuring out, getting the chemicals out of my body so I can put more
different
eggnog
chemicals.
In.
Yeah. More different chemicals.
Exactly. One for the other. It's all a balance.
But here we are.
We made it
to the end of the year, which I feel like, you know, there's a lot of really great podcasts out there, but not all of them, it's very easy for them to languish. And we're still going strong, but it's really going.
We're more dragging ourselves.
Yeah.
Closer and closer to what? I don't know.
Yeah. It's just kind of just like trudging through.
Yeah.
Reluctantly
like
and but
one
relentlessly.
One step in front of like a snowstorm, and you're like, I can't see shit in front of me. But you know what? I don't know. I'm out here.
Yeah. I'm already in the car.
Here we
they
go.
Said there was a party around here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to it.
I think so. It was a warm, like a pub.
Yeah.
Like a manger. Christmas?
Oh,
how about that?
It's over.
These
though.
Jews. That's right. Everyone's Christmas. Like, stop talking about it. It's over. But we're recording this.
Can
week
I talk
before.
About your affirmation word for 2018?
So we record this not in a fancy studio. We record it in my apartment in Echo Park, and Jason is looking over at my whiteboard that's
almost it's barren. It's not
barren.
Like there's ideas on it or like equations. It just has. Is it two words or are they hyphenate? Is that like supposed to be hyphenated?
Oh no, it's. Okay, it says humility and surrender. This is why maybe I've never brought anyone home to have sex with me.
Yeah, that's a start.
There's a lot of reasons. We'll get into them
in
a minute. But yes, it's humility / surrender. It's from the Cheryl Strayed book, because of course it is. Her Dear Sugar book. Have you read it? It's her advice column.
I have not read it.
Okay, anyway. But yeah, it's on my. And then there's another thing from an artist that says "Magic surrounds." I'm never having sex again. Am I?
Yeah. Well, when I see, the first thing I would do is roll my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
When I see that,
I think this year I've been in such a place of like, and I think my go-to is rolling my eyes and being like, "Holy fuck!"
Yeah.
But I've just been so like the year 2017 was such a shit show that I'm like, I don't know. Sure, yeah, I'll do that. I'll burn a bunch of candles. I'll fucking put this shit up. I'll try anything. And I don't know. Now I'm fine.
Look at you now.
Now I'm healed.
Yeah.
Of everything. Of all of my woes and troubles.
I see, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, I'm going to make this, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to make this year my bitch. And then the end of the year, they're like, I had a terrible year. And it's like, well, don't.
Don't make it your bitch.
No, just like, be a better person.
Just
I don't know.
What, simple.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's it. Easy.
Exactly.
What do you have a word for this year or
not yet, but I like your word. Every year Jason's word is survival.
It's literally I think that is also like what is the meaning of life.
Yeah,
it's really dire, but it's true.
Yeah,
And there's not a, like a ton of fun in it.
No.
But it's also like pretty, because there's so much coming at you all the time.
Yeah. I also, I think if I had to guess your word, survival would be in the top 10
yeah.
of it. You know, just like whatever it takes.
Yeah. You know what my, my second word would be?
What?
Patreon.
Gotcha. Here we are.
I gotcha.
Well, well, well.
Patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Please support us. It's a new year.
It's a new year.
Put your money towards the arts.
Yeah. Or our podcast.
Or hopefully our podcast.
Yeah, take it out of, actually take it out of the arts.
Will you actually just hide, just cut open a painting and take out your family fortune, yeah. safe, an old antique safe, and put it into an account and then just use a card to siphon that money to us.
We two new episodes every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Other little fun things. This is the like this is the year we are, and we've been having official conversations about it
mm-hmm.
with official people,
mm-hmm.
with like papers and stuff.
Things are happening. Do you want to be a part of it?
Of us?
Answer me.
Going and performing this live.
How about that?
Yeah, that's happening pretty, I mean, I think relatively soon in the new year.
I think so too. How exciting is that? You could see us live. Yeah. My jeggings live on stage. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, my hoodie or non-hoodie.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you'll have some time to figure it out.
Yeah.
To kind of
hoodie or
noodle on it a little bit.
But check that out.
It's really exciting. We've had so much great feedback. Yeah, we're going to start doing these bonus episodes based on stuff that you have recommended to us because you've recommended so many amazing places that we have no idea about that we're going to find out. We've been saving them all up in our little pockets.
And if you have suggestions, ghosttownpod@gmail.com mm-hmm. and ghosttownpod on Instagram.
Yeah. Why don't you make that your New Year's resolution?
They're like, no, I have.
They're like, I have like productive shit to do. I have things I need to.
They don't just write two words on a whiteboard.
I have a Forever 21 dress. No, but write those words in the whiteboard.
Wait, are you doing anything for New Year's Eve?
I'm going to some parties. Going to Paul Dietrich's party probably. No.
No, I like him. I like him. But you know what? It's that thing where it's like, I don't know, it's like, is it like it's all comedians?
At Paul's party? No, it's all going to be gay architects.
No, yeah, he's pretty like,
he's diverse.
He's diverse. Yeah, no, he's
in
not.
Friendships.
He's definitely not run of the mill.
No, but if I were like going to, I don't
know. No.
Those who might remain unnamed. Yeah, I think some parties are so comedy. Like, I used to live in this house. This isn't on anyone in the house, but I used to live in this giant house. Jason knows it.
I remember.
And there was just like grotesque comedy parties, like sticky floors, jello shot, like fucking people pass out on like couches, vomit, like that stuff.
Like a lot of bad jeans.
Yeah.
A lot of ill-fitting bad jeans.
Oh my God. Of course. It's like, am I in the Midwest again?
Yeah.
I'm not. No, I'm in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of outgrown those parties. But I also remember I was making fun of like the Iowa West, the theater that we used to perform at for everyone who is not from this 2-block radius, and people getting their fucking like Forever 21 dresses for $25, like shitty sequins falling off.
A dude wearing a tie with like
fitting, just like
H&M shirt
tie, stuff like that, like stupid like Kanye West glasses. Those fucking glasses that say the year too, sometimes you know what? It's not convenient to have the year go across your face.
No.
It's obstructing your view. So 2019, not a good year for New Year's glasses.
No.
2018, pushing it.
But 2019.
2000? Done.
Yeah, I think 2019 is going to be a good year for us. And by us, I mean you who are listening.
Yeah, we want to go different places. We want to do live shows. We have these things are in the works.
Yeah.
So
and if you have suggestions of, because we go through analytics about where, and we're there's stuff in every single state.
Yeah.
But we try to, people want to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
If there are places you're like, oh, you should come to our city or our town because, we have a lot of people that really love podcasts like yours or we're really looking for that. Because sometimes you think like, oh, just do it in a big city. And it's like, well, they already have so much going on.
Like, we want to come to a mid-sized city where people are like, oh, this could be cool.
Yeah.
Mid-sized cities have a lot going on and small cities too. But we want to be special. We want to feel special.
We want to do like a meet and greet VIP.
We want to do
for $500.
I was going to say we want to do a
haunted
tour.
Them, we pay them though.
Okay, good. I was like for free.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not making money, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm an artist. Ugh. So, but I'm excited though. I think I'm going to go to some parties. I'm going to maybe make out with somebody. I went on this good date with this dude who's a British stem cell researcher at USC, which is already like too adult for me.
That hack stuff? Excuse that scam? Me? Stem cell research? That scam?
I know.
Exactly. Is that good?
I bought into it. Yeah. I hope he listens to this. Yeah. But he's not going to be here for New Year's. I love like a good, like, am I going to make out on New Year's or what? Usually the answer is no, or awkwardly with a friend.
Yeah, it's like,
But you have a wife. You know, you're already locked in. It's like, make out at 10 and go to sleep and be done with it.
Yeah, or don't make out at all and just be like, is there any more pizza left?
Yeah, is there? There
will. God, I know.
A new year. Humility surrendered to that Pizza Hut.
Yeah. That was free for you, Pizza Hut. But still.
That was free, but we'll invoice you.
Yeah.
You can pay it if you want.
Yeah.
But you don't have to.
Yeah, or give us a job at Pizza Hut.
Yeah, or send us some pizza, ooh, some za. Could you?
Not speaking of za, we have an episode, right?
Okay. No one wants to hear
about it. You know what? I feel like somebody's listening and go, come on, get to the episode.
I know.
And I want to be an advocate for them.
Yeah. It's not just my friends who are like, this is an update in your life because we never talk.
Yeah.
You're right. We'll get to it. People want to hear the real shit.
Yeah.
But without swearing too much, right?
That's definitely not your New Year's resolution.
Oh, God. Okay. So let's talk about the LA County Poor Farm, which is really, really interesting. And a lot of this I got from KCET. And Sunset Magazine.
You were a guest on KCET.
I was.
So they owe you.
They owe me. And I actually know the woman who did a lot of research on this, Hadley Mears. She works for Atlas Obscura. She's a journalist. She's very interesting and knowledgeable. So I want to thank her for that. Shout out. But the LA County Poor Farm is really interesting. And I heard about it essentially through Atlas Obscura, I think. It is known as Rancho Los Amigos in Downey, California. And it has gone through like every permeation that a place could go through, and now it just sits there abandoned. So the old Poor Farm campus is in Downey, right off the Imperial Highway, right across from the Rancho Los Amigos National Rehabilitation Center. The old Poor Farm includes an abandoned church, a large craftsman mansion, once the superintendent's home, boarded up windows, a vine-covered Spanish-style complex, once the women's ward, an empty auditorium, a giant laundry building, rows of patient housing, a giant graffiti-covered water tank, a bus stop, occupational therapy buildings, vacant lots. Woo!
It's a
compound. Yeah. Like it's a giant compound, and right now it has a ton of cats, like stray cats everywhere, like in signs everywhere. We'll put some pictures up that say, don't feed the cats. And then there's like kibble everywhere.
Yeah.
It's already ironic.
Yeah.
It's already a paradox. But before California officially even became a part of the United States in 1850, it had a giant homeless crisis brewing. And this is new to me. Thousands of single men had rushed to the state in search of gold in 1848, but didn't find anything. And I think in my head, I was like, oh, I just went home. Yeah. But they just stayed in California.
The gold rush was in 1849.
They just hung around. They didn't have any education. They didn't have good health. And that they already were like kind of milling about and needed to be taken care of. In addition to that, sick people were already leaving for California in the 1870s. Because it was this place that was supposed to boast, like, you know, get better health.
And California. The weather's probably a little more consistent and you know, a little less.
Yeah. You
know, the weather isn't as dire and like on your health. And
no, but it was like a campaign where it's like, go to California, free yourself of asthma, free yourself of these ailments. And it kind of is true because the weather is better, but not really like you're not going to free yourself from like cancer, you know, it's not going to do much if you're not doing much. So people were kind of lured out to California and people who didn't have a lot of money. So there were people coming out, not really getting
better.
Which
is the opposite of
now. Yes, exactly. So at this point in time, California had a lot of people that needed help. By the boom time in the 1880s, the LA County Hospital, which opened in 1858, was overrun with tons of patients like this. That came by the railroad, again, trying to find gold, trying to find better health, trying to find whatever, and just being sick. In 1887, the LA County Board of Supervisors decided to build a new institution that would house homeless, able-bodied inmates, which they were called for a very long time, which is yikes. And in that August, the county purchased 124.4 acres of farmland in unincorporated LA County near Downey. The original campus, which was essentially where the auditorium was. It's kind of expanded since then. Not that anyone cares. Let's get to it. Featured three main buildings, a Victorian wooden building with the kitchen, reading room, offices, bedroom for employees, men, women's wards, a farm. There was a rocking chair that people take naps in. and then there was a big farm part of it and a stable. So they essentially like cultivated like a little utopia. And they would sell a lot of their stuff at market price to help offset the cost, which also I've never heard about as kind of a...
I mean, in structure, a little bit mm-hmm. of the Freetown Christiania, which we've mm-hmm. talked about in a previous episode, like that, yeah. kind of environment.
Yeah, but just think of like sick gold miners and...
Oh, I'm thinking about sick gold
frail.
Miners. Yeah.
Think frail migrants from the East Coast. The first, again, they keep on using the word inmates, which is harsh as hell, moved to the farm in December 1888. There were already around 90 men and women living in the farm around then when Dr. Edwin L. Burdick, a physician with farming experience, was hired as a superintendent. By 1892, the LA Times reported that the farm is now an attractive place. Trees have been planted, including 3,800 choice orange trees, producing fine fruit, also eucalyptus trees for windbreaks, cypress hedges, lawns, and flowers. More than enough vegetables are raised for home consumption, and some are sold. Alfalfa and sugar beets furnish food for the stock. A number of cows, hogs, poultry yield more than sufficient milk, pork, and lard and eggs to supply the inmates. Just, I keep on saying like the inmates at this utopian farm. But they were producing all this shit, and it was great. But over the next 12 years, under Dr. Burdick's leadership, the county poor farm grew into this, again, this important project, this thing that kind of could be an example for the rest of the state in terms of mental health and rehabilitation. As more buildings were built, it became kind of a catch-all institution, wards for patients afflicted with mental illness, asthma, alcoholism, syphilis, physical disabilities. When can I check in?
I check off a couple of those boxes.
Yeah, yeah. Most residents were elderly and some were expected to stay only until they were well enough to work again. These people performed light duties around the farm and were paid a small sum to take charge of the chickens or tend to other sicker inmates. You could make money. You pay money, but you can make money.
You're offsetting
your costs. Yeah. Or like, again, I'm not sure how much. They didn't really say how much it cost to be there or if it was kind of like a pro bono. I feel like it was a public service. But some, whatever, there's costs floating around. I'm not sure where or when or how they were maintained. There were inmates that Dr. Burdick simply diagnosed with old age, like a 100-year-old man from Britain who had fought in the Battle of Waterloo.
I mean, for 1880s to be 100 mm-hmm. years old.
Right.
I mean, the life expectancy is way lower than.
Yeah, this dude just hung out.
Do what he did.
Yeah. Whatever that was. Most of the inmates had been poor laborers. There were exceptions like William Wilmore, a once prosperous developer of what would become Long Beach, and James Eastman, a highly respected lawyer whose life had been ruined by alcoholism. Alcoholism is kind of a through line with this, too. While Wilmore's friends eventually rescued him, no one came to Eastman's aid, and he was buried in the farm's now lost cemetery. Also interesting. There's like hardly any mention of this cemetery. We don't know where it is or what's going on with it.
We got to find it.
We got to get there. The farm also, at this point, became a popular place for the rich, high-profile people to, like, come and visit and, like, do a little charity work or, like, take photo ops. Ladies, philanthropic groups, the Chamber of Commerce, health advocates would come to the farm to, like, lecture people and, like, hear ideas and, like, again, take photos.
I feel like nothing has changed in that sense, like a PR stunt to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So... that all seemed like well and good, but there was a dark side to the LA County poor farm, of course.
Yeah, that's what we're waiting for.
I just
want
to circle back to like, this is what they called it in just life, and then people, inmates. There was report of inmate mistreatment. There were also stories of despondent residents like George Deacon, who drowned himself in a nearby river. Bud Lewis, the farm's bread cutter, which is a job, who jumped out of a window during a heated discussion. About what?
Yeah.
We'll never know. Concerns grew louder after Burdick retired in 1911. A grand jury investigation resulted in mandated sweeping changes. These included a fair distribution of food, clean and well-lit wards, and humane and kindly treatment of inmates, with the promise that any case of unnecessary force of violence on the part of the employees is punished by instant dismissal. So again, it felt good. There was a dark side, but despite mismanagement, this working farm, tended mostly by civilian labor, prospered. The orange crop in 1909 brought in $13,000, which is a lot in 1909.
In today's, that's like bringing out money.
That's like
I don't know, man.
Now it's probably like $70,000. Yeah.
Oh.
Now, this is 1909. This is almost 100 years ago.
I'm bad at math.
You're bad at inflation.
Yeah.
You're like, this led to one scribe to joke, down to the county poor farm is all a mistake. It should be down to the county rich farm.
Oh,
making
edgy,
that money.
Edgy.
That's going to be more pertinent than anything I've ever done. That one quote from this article.
Yeah.
Everything that I have done will be lost in time.
That's a good zinger.
But that will persevere. In 1915, a new superintendent named William Ruddy Harriman would give the place a facelift. He was only 26 years old when him and his wife, Eleanor, moved into the place. What was I doing at 26? Taking shots off the IO bar.
But 26 then for inflation now would be 119.
Now you're getting it. You got it. By all accounts, he was a great superintendent. He memorized the name of every employee and patient. He had them call him Bill. He was also firm in his belief about how the institution should be run, writing cleanliness, sobriety, and respect for the rights of the others are encouraged and where necessary enforced. He wanted to erase the stigma of it being called a poor farm, so he changed the name to Hondo for Rio Hondo.
He changed it to TGI Fridays.
It was like, free wangs, big wangs. He changed it to Hondo in 1918, and the area encompassing the county farm at Hondo was officially a town with its own post office and would not even be absorbed into the county of Downey until 1950. So a lot of changes occurred. A new administration building, auditorium, infirmary buildings, medical offices, men's and women's psychopathic wards, additional staff for the patients, and bathhouses.
Oh, hello. So,
right? This is like better than any place I'll ever live. Relationships with charitable groups were encouraged. Early physical and occupational therapy was introduced, and the patient's social life was expanded with frequent motion picture shows, musical events, arts and crafts. Where do I sign up? The farm itself continued to flourish, winning prizes for its milking cows and valuable Belgian and Percheron draft horses. It's like paradise.
Yeah. Would you perform? I feel like you'd perform there.
Hell
like,
yeah.
Yeah, I got booked this gig.
A weekly
a
open
gig.
Mic.
Yeah.
Who's next up? It'd be like a 100-year-old man from Great Britain. Okay, you got five. I'm lighting you at four.
Yeah. He's like, what is lighting?
I'm just back on my phone. So by 1929, the average number of patients staying on the farm was around 1,900, which is a lot. And knowing all their names, damn William Ruddy Harriman. Increasing numbers of bedridden patients were being brought over from the county hospital. Able-bodied patients could participate in furniture making, work at the printing press, or play sport. This is a camp. This is like a camp for sick people. Employees also lived at the farm and formed baseball teams, basketball teams, musical groups, and social clubs. One of them, the Rolling Stones.
Wow, that's how they got started?
Yeah, right here.
Well, you know how that song, like, the Beach Boys, Help Me Hondo.
That's a classic.
They did that one.
Yeah, yeah. A little Belgian from Rio Hondo.
Yeah.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't fact check that. Just take our word for it.
No, yeah. Actually, don't fact check anything.
Yeah.
Please. Just keep listening. Keep enjoying me stumbling over my own words.
Yeah.
Will you?
Don't even fact check LA. We're not even sure that's
accurate. Don't even fact check and do not Google us.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so then the depression hits. The depression. Funding dried up. Patient population exploding. So they built a giant tent city. And it's already a giant, giant compound. But they're like, we're just going to put a bunch of tents up to house these people. And they use that tent city for decades. In 1932, as the farm increasingly turned towards rehabilitation and medicine, the farm's name was changed to Ranchos Los Amigos, Ranch of the Friends. By 1934, Rancho Los Amigos had grown to 540 acres with almost 3,000 patients, infirmities, socioeconomic backgrounds, a lot of different people. And then people would, on average, stay there 3.5 years, which is a long time. Long time.
I wonder how, you know, what they, when they left, was they leave, you know, mm-hmm.
Plant trees and like sing and hold puppet shows and write things. Though many patients still came from poor backgrounds, there were also like professional people, scientists, lawyers, writers, probably people I dated, stayed here.
Yeah.
You know?
Or will date.
It's hard to say. So everything was good for a while. They had a powerhouse whistle, too, that blew 6 times a day to signal mealtimes and bedtimes. And soothing concerts were often played over the rancho's campus-wide speakers. This is a camp.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful, delicious camp that you stay there for 3 years with some fun lawyer friends and some poor people in a tent shanty. And you had a great time. So Harriman's son, Bill Jr., and the other children who grew up at the rancho remembered a unique and oddly magical childhood replete with a miniature zoo tended by patients and a small golf course. They're just more and more. Like, what did I miss? I think I've said every pastime ever. If there's a soup plantation buffet in there, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Bill Jr. credited his lifelong love of music. He became a jazz drummer to a ragtag band of patients who would play on the streets of the campus every day. It was very loosely organized and nobody bothered to read any music, he remembered. They would sing their way through folk and early American songs with ukuleles, guitars, violins, and mouth harps. It was really the first live music I ever heard. A renaissance. It's almost like a kibbutz. Like, my parents always like idealized that lifestyle. Very 1960s.
Did they live on one?
No, but they knew people who did. Okay. Like a lot of, you know, mid-century Jews. Just hanging out, baking bread. But it was still a place for sick and tormented people. Alcoholism still rampant. In 1935, many patients became ill and violent after drinking bootleg shellac alcohol they had bought from a corrupt druggist in downtown Downey. Stay away. There were sad stories like that of Eulalia Herbert, an elderly widow who had sewed or stuffed over $2,000 in relief money into her dress. Upon her arrival to the ranch, shocked nurses had to peel the money off her body when they went to give her a bath. More and more chronically ill children were also moved to the rancho at this time. The Social Security Act of 1938 and World War II saw lots of elderly and able-bodied moving away to provide war support. Some who considered the ranch home chose to stay on as paying patients. Some who couldn't leave but who wanted to help in the war effort formed a company called Warco. Cool name, right? Which was a subsidiary shop of Reeves Rubber Company in the Rancho Crafts building. So they had this rubber company working out of there too. They were making money. It was always somebody making some money. Many wheelchair-bound patients worked for Bendix Aviation and other aircraft companies, sorting through sweeping sent from local factories for usable nuts, bolts, and metals. Part of the ranch became an army base camp called Camp Morrow. In 1944, an emergency hospital was founded and a group of 32 polio victims were transferred to the rancho. This is the beginning of the ranch's polio ward, which had become one of the premier polio treatment and rehabilitation centers in the country. So we're going to stop there because then we're going to talk about the 50s, baby.
You want to take a little break?
Yeah.
Let's take a break. All right. So we're into the 50s.
51. Huge hospital, premier hospital for polio and other things. The mission was to provide geriatric, medical, and nursing care, as well as care for those suffering from chronic diseases or convalescing from medical or surgical conditions. It also provided necessary medical, surgical, and ancillary care for the large concentration of respirator-dependent polyomedics patients in history. That's a fun, catchy slogan.
Say that 75 times.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I can't even say it once. There were no more miniature farms or gardens. One by one, the hallmarks of the poor farm were shut down. William Harriman retired in 1952 and died only 2 years later. By the late 50s, the county poor farm was a thing of the past, but Rancho Los Amigos was still kicking and still is. Over the next 6 decades, the rancho continued to grow. Its new growth was centered around the new campus on the north side of the Imperial Highway. This still exists, everybody. Though most of the long-term infirm and elderly patients died or were transferred to nursing homes and other facilities, a chosen few were allowed to stay. Until 1976, Eddie Higgins, a beloved developmentally handicapped man who had called the ranch home since 1926, could be found making his daily rounds, cheering everyone from doctors to fellow patients on. By the late 1980s, most of the building on the south campus were abandoned. Over the years, numerous plans have been floating around for property, including construction of an environmentally friendly county data center. But the buildings are still there. They are very, very creepy. We're going to put some stuff up. They're like, you can tell how beautiful they once were. And you can tell kind of where everything was. And now it's just like,
is it accessible or is it all like,
no, you can go there. It's huge. And there's not a lot, there's like some no trespassing signs, but there's not anything that would keep you out per se, except all the feral cats.
Well, if it says no trespassing,
cat army.
That's a rule. So
that's
I don't
a rule.
I don't break rules,
Jason, like, don't break rules. But I want to mention one more thing. So it's creepy. A bunch of Marines were there doing a training exercise in 2006, and they were just like wandering around and started looking through some places in the main building, and they found in the freezer a bunch, like a box of mummified legs, human legs, in the freezer.
Oh, wow.
So who knows what was happening there? Where's that graveyard? What's going on? What miniature horses remain?
Somebody, I mean, it's, I feel like it's recent enough that somebody has the answer to where, the, I mean, unless the graveyard was like done in like the late 1800s, but somebody must have that answer.
Someone's got to have it. So if you do, email us at ghostdownpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And make, if you want to make it up just to make us happy, be like,
oh,
there it is.
Oh my God. That'd be so fun. Yeah. If we had people send in fake shit.
If they were like, it's over there by the tower.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay.
They're like, go 40 paces left of the mini golf course and you will find a key. With that key, you'll unlock a panel in the side of the whatever.
It's really a testament, though. I mean, I feel like, you know, went through a lot of changes and there's a lot of reasons for it to not work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether the Great Depression or your general economy or California just growing in general. So yeah. It's like, oh, well, now, you know, hospitals and other facilities become a little more, you know, more modern because they're built from the, you know.
Exactly. But I also feel like it like caught, like every era kind of like caught up to it and then like degraded and then caught up to it and then degraded again and then just degraded permanently.
We have to check that out.
We do have to check that out.
Because I also want to, it's an excuse. I want to go there. I want to go to that, the McDonald's, the old.
All comes back to me. We're going to get some nugs.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go check out the nugs. Abandoned.
Did you say the Great Depression before?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you don't have
I'm
time
a historian.
To say you don't have time to say
I don't know.
Word.
I can't do it. I got to get through all this.
I got
to get through all this paper, this material. I got to get you the information that you deserve. Listener.
That's an interesting, you know, that's how we're ending 2018.
With the sad.
Well, I like that we ended it in Los Angeles.
Right?
Because we go to Los Angeles and then we leave Los Angeles and then we come back to Los Angeles.
Yeah, we live here.
So I like that we ended this year with a little L.A.
Little L.A., like, adjacent.
Yeah, because the world revolves around Los Angeles.
Yeah, hi.
Right? You're not going to do that in New York, are you?
Oh, no. Humility, surrender.